Welcome back to the Man Cave Caucus Podcast. This is where you can learn, you can laugh, and be just amazed. All in one place, I think. So we're coming at you live from the bowels of what we like to call the manliest of all man caves. And boy, do we have a show for you today. I'm your host, Ben Baker. Tim Holden is the co-host extraordinaire. Across from me here at the makeshift desk, and Detective Joel Mace is at the ready, as always. Well, unless he's gallivanting around somewhere.
Gadabouting
around. But he's not this week. He's just well meshed into the pleather couch with his fingertips of lightning, just ready to check the facts on the fly here on the podcast. So together we make up the Man Cave Caucus Podcast. We do have a quorum, and we're going to get right into it today, Tim. How's everybody doing? How's your week?
I'm hanging in there like a hair in a biscuit.
I was almost gadabouting tonight.
Were you?
Yeah.
I noticed there was like, you kind of, like, what if we could do it tomorrow? So what did you miss, Joel,
for us? So my buddy Ubered the drummer for Breaking Benjamin, and they're at the amp tonight.
No way.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, would you stick around? He Ubered him to the casino, and he said, hey, would you stick around and Uber me back for tickets?
And they're with Stained, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh. And so he called me, and he's like, hey, I've got a backstage pass with your name on it. And I was like, man, I've been gadabouting.
Joel.
I've been gadabouting too much. Let me see if we can move this.
I feel like you could still make it.
I think you're a little bit bigger of a Breaking Benjamin fan than I am.
I'm a far bigger Stained fan.
Yeah.
That's quite a bit to miss, Joel.
Well, I've just been gadabouting too much. One can only gadabout so much.
That's right.
Man.
Yeah, if we had shown up without a quorum again.
The fans wouldn't have had it.
It would have not been a good deal.
I might have been gadabouting if my friend was the Uber driver.
The difference is Tim would have he wouldn't have asked. Just ghosted.
I think I would have.
So first up on the docket for the show today, a little bit of breaking personal news, Tim. So as of when this show goes live on Monday, I will no longer be a state representative. Isn't that crazy?
Man. it really is. It hasn't sunk in.
It's still really surreal to me, too. It really is, to be honest with you. I will have resigned my position effective Sunday, May the 4th. May the 4th be with you.
I'm going to feel underrepresented.
Yes, because in the Missouri Constitution, there's actually a prohibition. You cannot be an elected representative and hold a federal job. You can also not hold other elected positions, you know, like you can't be a councilman or mayor and also be a state representative or like a county commissioner or one of those. So there's a constitutional prohibition for that in the state of Missouri. So it's bittersweet to resign from being an elected state representative for the 160th district. It's crazy. It's been the honor of my life, actually, to serve in this capacity. The people of the 160th district are the best people in the state, in my opinion. And I want to just express my gratitude for those who've been with me on this journey, you know, who've supported along the way, whether it was just a vote or whether it was, you know, financial support for the campaign or whether it was those who joined in the hard work of campaigning and went and knocked on doors. I know your brother did that some for us back in the day.
Fu Manchu.
Phil is a professional when it comes to that. That is right up his alley for sure.
He was in the lobby of the sheriff's office.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I was one day last week, and telling everybody about the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone that walked in.
Everyone that walked in.
Yeah.
Hey.
He's a lobbyist.
Yeah, he is.
It's being spread, that's for sure. An unpaid lobbyist.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's just an amazing experience to know that you have the confidence of the people in your district, and it's a humbling experience for me. Public services, it's an interesting endeavor. You know, it's quite an honor and a challenge for sure. And I'll still be serving the people of the great state of Missouri, just in a different role. Still, I look at it as public service. So without any further ado, I have accepted an appointment by President Donald Trump to be the Missouri State Director of Rural Development for the United States Department of Agriculture, the USDA. So the rural development side of that for the state of Missouri, this is just an amazing opportunity to be a part of the Trump-Vance administration and help make America great again, Tim. There's no feeling quite like the feeling when I get an official letter from the White House that says, "Welcome to the Trump-Vance administration."
The closest I can get to, I'm usually pretty good at putting myself in another person's moccasins.
Yeah.
But the closest I can get is I had a auto pen signed letter thanking me for my $10 donation to the Trump campaign.
Yeah.
In 2016. So, I mean, it did fill me with joy.
Yes.
I don't think I can even get on your level there with how that feels. Like, that's as close of a parallel as I can pull.
It's just crazy to me, you know. Still surreal how just an old country boy from the sticks somehow
can survive.
Could ever make it this far, actually. It's never lost on me, though.
No.
I was sitting in the chamber, which I couldn't tell anybody except for, you know, the speaker and leadership, kind of giving them a heads up of what was getting ready to happen. But Thursday, I'm sitting there at my desk thinking, this is the last time I'm voting, you know, as a representative. And I'm just looking around the chamber. And that's what was weird about it. Like, nobody knew. And I couldn't say anything at that point.
Yeah.
But I knew, you know. And the hard thing was not being able to have some words,
yeah,
you know, to share with my colleagues, because usually everybody does that when they're termed out or when they're leaving.
Yeah.
So I did talk to the speaker, and he's going to let me Monday. He's going to let me speak from the dais, which I'll be a private citizen come Monday.
Wow.
Which is just crazy, but I'll have to go in the building from the front door. That's weird. No parking space, no badge to get in, just a regular citizen. Just strolling in the Capitol.
That is, I don't know. I've been at the same job for 20 some years, and I definitely couldn't imagine just kind of finding out it wasn't going to, you know, wasn't going to be able to go out the way that you'd kind of planned the whole time.
Yeah, the abrupt nature of it, you know,
bam.
It's you know, we're 2 weeks left with session, and I've still got bills, you know, moving in the process and all of that. So
I think it would be harder if you were going to be moving from that position to Councilman Baker.
Yeah.
You know, how did it come about? Like, did somebody put your name in the hat, so to speak? Or
so I think it's probably very unorthodox, I would think. I mean, I would say it's happened like this before, but a lot of times these kind of appointments go to, you know, people who are close to the president, maybe, or have served in some capacity in a previous administration. But over the years in the legislature, I've been a part of several different groups. The American Legislative Exchange Council is one of those, a group of legislators, members from all over the country that meet several times during the year, and you get to know other legislators around the country. You know, you're a part
and
of this group.
And that's in D.C., right?
It's based out of D.C., but it's all over the country, and the meetings are all over the country as well. Okay. But you get to – you make contacts with people, and, you know, sometimes people get into other positions later that were – you know, that you met and that were your friends or whatever, or other colleagues. I'm also in a group called the Club for Growth, which is by invitation only. You have to have a letter from your congressman to be a part of that group, and it's it was started really just for the purpose of – kind of putting together the next generation of conservative leaders in the country. And David McIntosh is the head guy of the Club for Growth, who has been a very successful — he's a former congressman back in the day, but very successful businessman as well, and has put a lot of his own money into this group. But so several years ago, I was asked to be a part of the Club for Growth. Congressman Burleson wrote a letter. He's in the Club for Growth. So, you know, every year they'll ask maybe one or two people from each state to be a fellow with the Club for Growth. And so I became a part of that group, and just a great group of people. And, you know, so you go to these meetings, and they have different trainings and things that they talk about at the seminars, really focused on, you know, what it means, what it means to be a conservative, what it means, you know, to have that kind of deep rooted principle, and then what that means to serve in the different capacities, whether it's an elected official, not all the people who are in that group are elected officials. Some of them serve in other roles, but many of them are. And then they also have a campaign side of the Club for Growth where they help some of those people get elected to Congress. You know, Congressman Burleson's an example of that. The Club for Growth helped him tremendously in his run for Congress, because they really do want people who are very principled conservatives in those positions. So you get to know those people. And the class before me, there were some friends in there who were currently in the White House with this Trump administration. And then there's another group called the Foundation of Government Accountability that I got to know really well. Those guys, are several of them are now in the White House as well. So, you know, I had expressed interest possibly in working in the Trump administration, depending on what that might look like. And there were a couple things that, you know, would have required moving to Washington, D.C. I did not want to do that. I didn't want to move my family there. But one of the people that's a fellow in the Club for Growth in the White House, I think the class in front of me, reached out to me and said, you know, there's a couple of positions in Missouri. You know, if you know anybody that would be interested in this, let us know, or if you're interested in it, you know. And so I really didn't think about it at first. More so was thinking about other people who would be good for that position, you know. So, and then I kind of looked into it, did a little research, and I thought, that might be something that would fit, you know, because it's a state position, something I don't have to move, can be in the state of Missouri, still serve the people of Missouri, but not have to move to do that. So the more we thought about it and prayed about it, the more interested I became in that. And I did reach back out and say, you know, I might be interested in it. And she said, well, if you're interested, I'll really push for that, you know. And then I reached out to Congressman Burleson, Congressman Onder. They both were willing to write a letter of recommendation to the White House and say, and advocate for me and say, this would be a good person for this position. And then also Senator Hawley and Senator Schmidt weighed into it as well, whether it was making a call to the White House or the people involved in this process, decision-making process. So I really had a lot of people that I think President Trump respect greatly that were willing to weigh into that and advocate for me. And I think that made a big difference. So that's kind of how it came about. And then, you know, we started communicating, and moving through that process. And the next thing you know, they said, well, we want to do an interview, you know, and then after that, it seemed like it was kind of whittled down to a smaller group. I don't know how many people were in that pool who had expressed interest or applied, but, and then it just, you know, kept moving forward to the point where they said, you have been chosen and, you know, your letter of acceptance and all of this. And so, that's kind of how it played out. But it really goes back to, I think, Tim, being a principled conservative. Like, you know, there's a lot of people in Jeff City who are probably smarter than I am, you know, and think they're more connected when it comes to outside the building in, you know, whether it's the lobby corps or whatever. But through my tenure, I really tried to stick to, you know, if I'm going to become a part of a group, like a legislative group, whatever, I wanted it to be people that aligned with how I think and what I, you know, my identity as a representative, and not just that, just my own personal belief system when it comes to politics and when it comes to the philosophy of ideas. And I think that's what really was a big part of it, you know, because those are the people you then build those relationships with. And those are the people that are recognized as being consistent conservatives. And those are the people that the Trump administration have been reaching out to be the leaders in this administration. Yeah. I also think school choice was a big part of it. You know, I have been an advocate for school choice since I first got elected. And before that, I was an advocate just naturally. But that's something that it's a big part of this administration, and that it's hard to find many Republicans that are 100%, you know, on that issue, that are, you know, really strong on school choice. And that's something that I think made a difference as well.
Well, I think on just conservative, what was your voting record?
So
what, like, stacked up against other conservatives? It seemed like every year that I saw, you were the number one.
Most of the years I was in the House, I was the top of the list for the different scoring groups,
right,
that would score on conservative issues, and ranked right up there at the top on the House side. Congressman Burleson was always the top on the Senate side. You know, we built a really good relationship back then when he served in the Senate, the state Senate, and I was in the House, and became a mentor to me. And really, you know, not just with the Club for Growth, but even before that, kind of taking me in and being a mentor was a huge part of what led to this as well, you know. And then there's other people, like the former Speaker of the House, Rob Vescovo, who's a really good friend of mine, very close to him. And he was also recommended me for the Club for Growth back then. And, you know, so there's people like that that have just become friends with and close to over the years who wade into this process. And the contacts that you make, the friends that you make, you know, it's a pretty big deal.
And being sticking to your principles when it's unpopular. It's I don't lavish much praise, but I'm super proud of
it. Well,
and that means a lot. No, that doesn't mean a whole lot.
It does mean a lot.
It
does mean a lot to me.
It's just good to see. I don't know. God elevates faithful people. I know that.
It's a pretty exciting thing for us. It's a new chapter in life, and looking forward to it. So, just want to get everybody a little update on that.
Big update.
Yeah, it's.
I can no longer say that I co-host a podcast with a state representative,
right?
A Trump appointee.
Yeah.
You know, for all those reasons you said, but also because the president's a big fan of the podcast.
I think so.
No question.
I think he probably heard us on the podcast and was like, I need that guy.
Well, part of the vetting process is I have to submit all of my social media feeds. And so all of those podcasts, I'm sure somebody out there probably listened to a few of them.
Hopefully anyway, they were smart enough to just run it through the AI.
Right.
Like, did he say anything?
Right. Well, and the other thing, too, I want to mention is, and this is something we talked about long before this ever came along, and before Trump was elected the second time. Like, one of the biggest mistakes, I think, of the first administration was that he didn't realize how deep the swamp went, right? And, you know, you just let these people who have been in Washington, D.C. make a lot of these choices when it comes to cabinet positions and when it comes to these appointments and judges and all the different things that are involved with that. And it did not turn out well, that first administration, because those people were not loyal to the president. They were not loyal to his agenda. And by the time he even figured this out, there were so many things happening against him and people turning against him in his own administration that it was too late, you know. And this time they had all of that accounted for, and they have put the right people in position, people who are loyal and people who are loyal to the agenda of, you know, what we need to do to turn this country around and make America great again.
Project 2025.
Right. And so, you know, to me, I think that's a big part of it. Like, and I feel the same way. Like, if it was me in his shoes, I wouldn't care near as much about how many degrees somebody has, or where they went to college, or even maybe what experience they've had to a certain degree, as much as what do they believe? And is it genuine? Is it solid? Is it deep? You know, what is their worldview? And are they loyal to this agenda of what we need to do to turn this country around? Are they a patriot? I mean, really, that's the bottom line to me.
Loyal to conservatism.
Are they a patriot? And do they really believe and love this country and believe on the principles that founded this country? And I'm telling you, to me, the only way you're going to – and you see this happening now with this administration, it is. Those people are in place. When you hear Stephen Miller go off and start talking to the media, that guy knows exactly what he's talking about. And one of the smartest people in any room. You see these people that he has put around him. In his cabinet that are warriors when it comes to the Department of Defense and others. Carolyn Leavitt, awesome press secretary. Like, these people are in unity when it comes to the Trump agenda. Now, you can agree with it or disagree with it or whatever. I don't care. I mean, that's a part of politics. As you get somebody in administration, they have an agenda of what they want to accomplish for that administration, for the country. And I believe Trump's agenda is an America First agenda. I think it is something that says, I love this country and I don't want to see it go in the direction it's been going any longer, not a minute longer. And we're going to have to make whatever corrections we need to make, as much as it might hurt for a bit, to turn this around, because it's got to be now. We can't wait another minute. And so that, I think, figures into it. And I think that even in my position, which is way far down from all those others when it comes to cabinet positions, but it's something that they know, they can recognize, they have people in place that can recognize people who are genuine and who are patriots, who love the country and who will be loyal to this administration. And I think that figures into it.
Yeah. It's just exciting. I think that Missouri could have the biggest, like, pool of housing and stuff, affordable housing in the entire U.S. And I can't help but think, with your background, that it could be a real boon for Missouri. So yeah. I'm excited.
I'm looking forward to it. We'll leave that there for now and get right into the show this week. So first up, there was a DEA raid on April the 27th, 2025, at an illegal nightclub in Colorado Springs. Did you see this? Where over 100 undocumented immigrants were arrested, alongside drugs, weapons seizures, reflecting this broader crackdown by the Trump administration on illegal immigration and crime, and really getting back to that core Make America Safe Again directive that Donald Trump talked about the entire campaign for presidency. And so this raid uncovered ties to notorious gangs like the Trinde Aragua gangs we've been talking about, the MS-13 gangs, as well as the involvement of over a dozen active military members. This is what was crazy about this story to me. Some of those military members were working as security for this illegal, whatever it was, club, underground club where this raid took place. They were working as security. And this raises a lot of questions about what is going on with our military. It prompted a joint DEA Army investigation at Fort Carson as a result of this. And this involvement of these active duty military members in this DEA raid on the underground nightclub has, I think, brought a lot of questions up when it comes to military discipline, oversight, the potential criminal activity. So I want to talk about this a little bit and break this down of what we know about their involvement based on the available information. So it was over a dozen active duty members that were present during the raid. Specifically, Fort Carson spokesperson later confirmed that 17 service members were identified at the scene, with 16 assigned to Fort Carson and a U.S. Army base near Colorado Springs. You know, there's a lot of military bases in the state of Colorado. And these military members were involved in two distinct capacities. Some were working as armed security guards, but this was an illegal nightclub that is used as a hub for human trafficking, for drug trafficking, for prostitution, violent crimes, and were frequented by these notorious gangs. Even the Hells Angels were known to frequent this underground club as well. Others were patrons who were just attending the club, potentially, we don't know, engaging in or being exposed to the illegal activities that were occurring there. But there's one specific case on an arrest that happened. Staff Sergeant Juan Gabriel Arona Rodriguez, an active duty soldier stationed at Fort Carson, was arrested by the FBI. He faces federal charges related to drug trafficking, one count of distribution of cocaine, one account of possession with intent to distribute cocaine, one count of conspiracy to distribute cocaine. And the details of the allegations with this, you know, according to the federal sources, Arona Rodriguez allegedly sold cocaine to an undercover DEA agent on April the 22nd near his home, and this was in Colorado Springs. And text messages that were revealed, uncovered during the investigation, reportedly revealed months of suspected cocaine trafficking as well. He has served in the military, in the U.S. Army, for over 8 years, was assigned to the 1st Striker Brigade Combat Team, 4th Infantry Division at Fort Carson. He has no prior felony convictions, according to court records. And the DEA Rocky Mountain Field Division, the FBI, and the Army Criminal Investigation Division are conducting a joint investigation into the involvement of these military members, looking into the allegations of what types of criminal activity they were involved in, if any, and including their potential participation in drug trafficking, prostitution, and other crimes at the nightclub. So this, to me, is just, it's crazy that this has taken place and that these people, active duty members, were participating in this with these gangs. Now, you know, could some of them have been undercover? I don't know. I don't know how that works with the military. I don't think the military does undercover, you know, regular military branches. I don't think do undercover operations like that, like the FBI would or the CIA.
I don't think they could do it in the States.
Yeah, I don't think they could do it in the States by the law. But Fort Carson, they had a spokesperson that stated that the 17 identified service members were allowed to leave the scene on their own after the raid, indicating that They were not immediately detained or charged. So, you know, the base seems to be cooperating fully with the DEA, the FBI, and other agencies in, that are involved in the investigation. But the Army has not disclosed whether any of these members were arrested, except for the one, the Arona Rodriguez case.
Erroneous Rodriguez.
Right. So while no specific disciplinary actions have been detailed, the involvement of these active duty personnel in such a criminal environment raises a lot of questions. You know, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, I think, comes into play. Possible charges under that could include, you know, I don't know, conduct unbecoming of a service member, for sure. Failure to obey lawful orders and regulations, drug-related offenses. So additionally, the Army probably will pursue administrative actions, you know, maybe even separation from service. But in this DEA operation, I'm going to play a video of this in a second. In this DEA operation, there was over 200 people that were detained, 114 identified as undocumented immigrants. 114 of that 200. Most of them were from Central and South America and are now in ICE custody. So, but the presence of those active duty military members is alarming to me. And I think, I mean, think about the national security risk that that would bring. Just that. There's the DEA special agent in charge, Jonathan Pullen, noted that the nightclub had been under investigation for months due to drug trafficking, prostitution, and violent crimes. And he highlighted that some of those service members were directly involved in those activities. So that was the DEA special agent that made that statement. So, you know, I don't know. Pam Bondi talked about this a little bit. Attorney General Pam Bondi emphasized, you know, the seizure of the drugs, cocaine, meth, pink cocaine. I don't even know what that is. Joel might be able to tell us. Not because he uses it, but because he's probably seen
it. That's
the
Victoria's Secret stuff.
Right.
No, I don't know what it is.
I don't either. I've never heard of that before. It was something that they mentioned in that when I was watching what Pam Bondi said.
I am a Googler, though.
Right. But the arrest of two individuals on existing warrants framed the raid. And some, you know, Pam Bondi was talking about the Make America Safe Again initiative. Like, we're not going to tolerate this. We're not going to put up with it. These people will be investigated and punished to the full extent of the law. Because these gangs are known for their violent activities and infiltration of our country in different ways, not just their status being illegal, but their actions and the things that they're involved in.
Ooh.
So did you find what it is?
Seems like it's a mixture of meth and cocaine.
I don't know what I came up with was that it's often not cocaine at all. It's just chemicals, MDMA, well, just whatever.
Dextromethorphan.
Just like a hodgepodge, huh?
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
Yeah. Hydrobromide.
And it differs from cocaine in that it's hallucinogenic.
Oh.
Oh. Pink elephant.
So you don't want any of that.
Throw some pink shrooms in there, cocaine. Too. Just grind it all up.
Well,
MDMA? That's ecstasy.
It's dangerous stuff. 2018's when it came about in Latin America, so.
Wow. So it's fairly recent then.
Yeah.
So here's the video of this raid. Tell me what you think of this. This is wild. Beating in the window right there. And then they start running out. Dude dropped something. Did you see that? What was that?
I think it was a pair of flex cuffs.
Okay. I knew Joel would know. So So this is just the beginning of it here, where they all start, they're beating on the door, and they've got them surrounded, and they all come running out. But that's wild.
Mm.
I was just wondering, doesn't look like it's underground.
It's definitely
above ground. It's actually ground level.
It's actually ground level.
It's a speak queasy.
Not fully underground. Just illegal. Yeah. So
I speak sleazy.
Oh, man. Next up, I've got a... This is hilarious, man. So MSNBC... Did you see this where they put the signs out?
Yeah, on the White House lawn.
Yeah. So this was April 28th. The Trump administration put all these posters of arrested criminal illegal aliens just like lined the whole driveway of the White House with these posters. Pretty good sized signs. I'll play this video in a second. You can see it. But and so the media, the TV correspondents, whenever they do their media bits at the White House, this had to be in the background of their scene. And so they were all just losing their minds over this. They just can't handle it. But I thought it was genius. Watch this.
White House has put up about 100 posters of what they say are unauthorized immigrants who have been arrested for violent crimes. You can see them there. They put them up on the driveway of the White House. If you look here, that's the West Wing just at the forefront, the executive mansion itself to the left. But what's particularly noteworthy about this location is it is right directly behind the positions where TV correspondents do their hits from the White House lawn. So therefore, no matter what network you're on, that includes MSNBC, if you're doing a hit from the White House right now, those pictures will be behind you. The White House doing a briefing in about a half hour about what they're doing here.
I thought that was genius, man. I mean, it's criminals, and it just tells them what their crime was on the signs, right? But they can't handle it. So what are we at now, Joel? Can you look it up? What's the percentage of the border crossings now, just over 100 days into the Trump administration? I think we're up in the 90s, 90% or higher, less border crossings than we were with the Biden administration before Trump took office. And that to me is significant. I think, again, we've talked about this. Not only is it the right thing to do to make America safe again, but electorally, this is golden because the overwhelming majority of this country, they want to see this happen as well. And they know that. The Trump administration knows that, and they're playing that out.
In March 2025, the average daily apprehensions nationwide were 264. That is a 94% decrease from the 4,488 per day average in March 2024.
So a 94% decrease.
100. I like those.
That's some great ratios, isn't it?
That is where Trump is hitting it out of the park.
That's
what we voted him in for, so and he's delivering
on. We've only got 6% to go then, to where it's 100%.
Is any
no crossings?
We got to get a negative. That's got to
right.
Is anything going? Anything going on the wall?
I don't think we even need it as long as Border Patrol's doing their job, or they're allowed to do their job.
Yeah, right. I think the funding and all of that's going to happen. As to how much they get built in the next 4 years, I don't know. But the point is, the first thing you have to do is shut it down and not allow those people to come across like they have been in the past years. So
remember when Trump said that he was going to build a wall and Mexico was going to pay for it?
Yeah.
Why is it? I mean, we're already tariffing Mexico. Wrap that in. Promises made, promises kept.
Right. Right.
Boom.
Oh, man. They are fighting tooth and nail on all the tariff stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Trump is winning in so many ways on this and will continue to do so. So next up, the Dems are protesting again on the steps of the Capitol in D.C. So let's just get a little live look into this demonstration here.
Is this a...
See what's going on.
Is this a song that was, like, around before? Or
I've never heard it, if it is.
Writing as he went.
So you've got Hakeem Jeffries is on, in this picture. He's right behind this crazy guy. I don't know who the guy is with, like, the trans scarf on or whatever.
That's singing.
And then you've got Cory Booker over there on the left as well. Those are some of the main ones that I've noticed. Maybe that's Crockett back there in the background. I don't know. But several members of Congress or the Senate that are joining in this protest. And here's the tune they were playing here.
You know the song from the beginning. I will build this world from love. Ya-da-da-da-da-da. Build this world from love.
Sign that says Free Palestine up there.
That guy has a rainbow colored yarmulke.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. God will build this world. He is a Jew.
Hey, did you see this guy over here? Wait, I gotta back it up. Did you see this guy? This guy looks a bit out of place.
You look at that guy with the glasses, the white guy.
I know, he kind of looks
JD,
like
JD Plants. It's JD Cramps.
What about this guy over here? See?
I don't see him.
Oh, yeah.
This guy.
Oh, that's Father Time.
That's Father Time. He looks a bit out of place.
Does look like the chubby J.D. Vance meme.
This guy?
Yeah.
Right behind the guy in the yellow or that's green
out of,
suit?
That's out of shape J.D. Vance. They call him J.D. Cramps.
J.D. Cramps. Yeah, they got the Free Palestine going on at the old protest. So that's what the Democrats are doing. I actually tweeted about this the other day, and I said, the name of this tune is Why We Will Never Lose Again. they can't help themselves, you know. But then, you know, the internet did not disappoint with some spoofs of this protest. So I've got one here where they put Cory Booker's face on this drum player. Watch this. And you got Hakeem Jeffries sitting there too.
If somebody doesn't shut him down now, Cory Booker will take that on for 24 hours.
Yeah, that's the
filibuster.
He doesn't
the steps.
Have any quit in him.
Oh man! But again, I'll never understand why they think this is actually resonating with the majority of voters. I don't like they keep pushing this crazy stuff, and I don't think it's going to work. Next up, articles of impeachment have been filed again against President Trump by Representative Congressman
Al Green.
Not Al Green. Sri Thanandar. Have you ever heard of this guy? Yeah. So
never heard of her.
Yeah. Articles of impeachment accusing Trump of constitutional violations like obstruction of justice, abuse of power. If you look on his official congressional website, but Thanandar is a Michigan Democrat born in India who faces a lot of backlash in the comments on many of these social media posts, with some of them even calling for his deportation. I would say, but
he looks like he uses his hands for spatulas.
Looks like a Key and Peele skit.
Yes. When
it
he
does
talks
look
though,
like a Saturday Night Live skit.
He only has, it's like he bought false teeth, but he could only afford the bottom set. There's no top teeth.
It looks, his hair looks like a wig. It looks does. Fake.
Everything looks wrong.
Yes. Is so it, so here's his articles of impeachment. Here's
watch
him.
His bottom teeth. You got to watch this.
This is Congressman Sri Thanedar. Donald Trump has already done real damage. To
real
our
damage.
But defying a unanimous 9-0 Supreme Court ruling, that has to be the final straw.
I just want to remind you guys, this is a United States congressman.
I'm running for Congress. Okay. I'm moving to Michigan, guys.
This guy's a native Michigandian.
No, he's a native Indian.
He was born in India, but...
brought here.
Right.
And now he's from Michigan, which makes him a Michigandian.
A Michigandian.
He's missing his top teeth, I think.
This is Congressman Sri Thanedar.
I don't think cows
Donald
have
Trump
top teeth.
Has already done already. Real damage to our democracy. But defying a unanimous 9-0 Supreme Court ruling, that has to be the final straw. It's time we impeach Donald J. Trump. The court said the wrongfully deported
this is offensive.
Garcia must be allowed to return
to Indians.
And receive due process. Trump ignored it. He ignored the Constitution. He ignored the very checks and balances that keep our democracy intact. This isn't an isolated incident. It's part of a dangerous, deliberate pattern.
Deliberate.
That's why today I introduced a resolution to impeach Donald J. Trump, outlining seven
his eyebrows have been
of impeachment.
Meticulously.
Article 1.
His butt's Botox.
Obstruction of justice and abuse of executive
meticulously
power.
Groomed
from
eyebrows,
denying
I
due
will
process
say.
To unlawful deportations, Trump defied court orders.
He hasn't blinked once.
Article 2.
He
taking away Congress's power of the purse, Trump dismantled agencies and froze funds without permission from Congress.
He looks like keeping up
Article
with the cranks.
Article 3.
The
trade powers yes. and international aggression. He imposed damaging tariffs.
You can see
and
the
threatened military invasions.
He needs to go
of
back to
allies.
Hollywood.
Article 4, violation of First Amendment rights. He has retaliated.
You can see the teleprompter in his eyes.
Journalists, attorneys, and critics for exercising
Got
their right
straight
to
up
free speech.
Milk duds.
Article 5, creation of an unlawful office establishing the so-called Department of Government Efficiency.
Unlawful so office that Obama created,
Elon
man.
Elon Musk, unconstitutional power over our government
Iran.
And personal data.
Iran Musk.
Article 6, bribery and corruption. He has dismissed criminal cases and solicited payments from
golden.
Foreign governments.
Foreign
and court legal settlements for personal and political gain. Article 7. Tyrannical overreach. Finally, and most importantly, he is attempting to consolidate unchecked power and erode the constitutional limits of the presidency. In this country, we have presidents, not kings. That's not just misconduct. Is impeachable misconduct. Whoa. This isn't leadership, it's tyranny. If we let this stand, we are saying the president is above the law, that the United States Constitution is optional.
I've already said.
I won't be silent, and I'm calling on all my colleagues, Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, to stand up with me. Enough is enough.
Nobody's standing
Donald
with you,
J.
standing
Trump
dark.
He looks
must
very alone.
Impeached.
With his green screen behind him.
Is that not just something
I kept
else?
Waiting for the comedy. Right.
I'm telling you, it looks like an SNL sketch.
Yeah. You feel like you're being punked, you know?
Already. Shut up already.
So
sound like King Julian a little.
Yes. But here's the other thing that was brought up very quickly when this guy started talking about his articles of impeachment. apparently he was involved in a scandal with animal abuse in 2010. He has a lab. It's called the Anaclin Preclinical Services Lab, who abandoned 118 beagles and 55 monkeys.
I heard about this a long time ago.
Yeah. After financial troubles.
I saw this on Netflix. They did a whole special.
Yeah. It's a real thing. I'm going to play the video here in a second of some of the clips of this.
The Beagle King.
How do you get...
The Beagle King.
Right. How do you get elected after that?
I'll never understand
only
that.
Only in Michigan.
Only in Michigan.
He'll never financially recover from this.
Yeah, so
Carol
the USDA documents revealed prior citations for inadequate care. Fauci's beagle experiments, which was a real thing as well, were kind of similar to this. A controversial 2021 study, 44 puppies being injected with drugs and killed, basically. And I guess beagles are commonly used in experiments. I didn't know this until I started reading into this, but because of their docile nature, I guess. But the NIH data showed 95% of drugs tested on animals like beagles fail in humans, highlighting which who would have ever thought, right?
Why?
But the ethical and scientific debate around animal testing is definitely in question.
We could sick Carol Baskins on this guy and he'd go away.
He would go away real quick. Be in federal prison somewhere.
For every, what's that guy's name? Ishtar? For every Ishtar, there's a Carol Baskins out there that's willing to make things right.
Right.
He's about to be basking.
Congressman Thunder. Here's the video from the terrible, terrible.
Is this a music video?
Today we rescued 120 beagles from a them lab rescuing, in New Jersey rescuing that had gone out of business.
They don't look good.
And some friends of ours at an animal rights organization in
they
New
said
York
some
City
of these dogs have never seen
them
outside.
And said, we need to do something with these animals.
So yeah, these were the beagles
doing
from
a beagle with
really
SARS.
Amazing how things worked out. Just the other day, we're like, oh, wait a second. It's 4th of July. They're gaining freedom over Independence Day weekend.
Hi, puppy one.
As they come off transport, we're hoping to deworm each dog.
These were beagles that were held against their will.
They're giving them horse paste
at Congressman before going into their Thinandar's lab in 2010. That's the guy
that they have never been outside ever.
Offering articles of impeachment against the president of the United States. So,
I mean, he makes Michael Vick look like a weekend warrior.
Were they injecting him with SARS or were they testing shampoo?
Oh, there was no shampoo testing on preclinical.
I don't know what
the name
all
of the company was. Preclinical trials, more or less.
That's the type of conditioner I use.
Preclinical
I'm
trial.
I'm kidding.
Clinique.
Oh, there you go.
Preclinical.
Clinique brand. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with the articles of impeachment. I have a feeling that they will go nowhere.
Just like Al Green's articles
like
of impeachment.
Al Green's. Be like articles.
Has anybody heard from Al Green since the State of the Union?
He's still somewhere shaking that cane.
Yeah.
Yep.
Never to be heard from again, huh?
Right.
He's sitting in his den. I've never heard. I couldn't tell you what Al Green sounded like, but when I see him, I hear
like the old men on the Muppets.
Yeah.
Next up, Fox News captured a tense moment at Selfridge Air National Guard Base on April the 29th, where Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, a Democrat, if you didn't know, which if you listen to this podcast, you would definitely know, reluctantly shakes hands with President Donald Trump during his visit there to announce the 21 new F-15 EX jets. You know, they've had quite the political rivalry because Trump is all the time trolling Gretchen Whitmer. But for a good reason. She's a crazy person. And this is hilarious because he impromptu, like, brings her up on the stage and then asks her to speak about it. And you can tell She is not comfortable with being on the stage with President Trump.
I mean, she all but put a paper bag on her head last time she was
in the Oval Office. But the military's there in the background. What's she going to do? She's going to have to do it, right? Just watch this video. It's great. He invites her over. Reluctantly, she walks to the podium.
Well, I hadn't planned to speak, but I'm on behalf of all the military men and women who serve our country and serve so honorably on behalf of the state of Michigan. I am really happy we're here to celebrate this recapitalization at Selfridge. It's crucial for the Michigan economy. It's crucial for the men and women here, for our homeland security and our future. So thank you. I'm so grateful that this announcement was made today. And I...
She couldn't say I'm grateful to the president.
Yep.
Grateful for this announcement as she looks back at President Trump.
Did all the work. Thank you.
And then reluctantly shakes his hand. I thought that was just great, though. Trump just has a knack for that kind of thing. Like, calls her up there, you know.
Second time in 2 weeks that he's...
Right.
Made her acknowledge.
Yeah, the Oval Office was the first one. You think she runs for president in 28?
Yeah.
You do?
Really?
I think that's why she's there.
Yeah.
I think she's... I mean, look at all the others are...
So, who's it going to be? Let's put out a little... So, Gretchen Whitmer, Gavin Newsom's got to be in the... In the mix, right?
AOC, I think, leads the
Michelle Obama
charge.
Still.
Nah, she's
lurking.
I think they're done.
I don't know. That podcast's really popular.
Her and her brother?
Yeah.
Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan. Is it Michael Jordan?
Did you guys see the clip that Michelle Obama?
Yeah, I'm going to play that.
Okay.
I'm going to play it, Tim.
Okay. Okay. Okey-dokey.
Just hang in there.
Who else you got? Is that it?
I think Shapiro from Pennsylvania still.
They'll never, ever elect a Jew.
They probably won't, but I think he runs in the primary. I think he's likely to run in the primary.
Oh, do you see they're smearing old the big guy that always wears the Belichick
Pritzker?
Sweatshirt?
Pritzker's got to be in the mix.
Yeah. Pritzker is probably in the mix.
He could probably buy the presidency.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure that's not Pfizer?
Just doesn't look presidential, though. Just doesn't. I think Gretchen Whitmer looks more presidential than he does.
Yeah. No, I don't think she wants to be in that room at all, but she's there for a reason.
Yeah. I think that's probably the top tier of those potential candidates, but I'm sure there'll be more.
What was the name of the... I ask every week, but the lady that I thought... Gretchen Whitmer was the mayor of Detroit.
Lori Lightfoot.
Lori Lightfoot.
Quite a stark visual difference.
Right? I was never more surprised
not even
than when I found out. Lightfoot just looked like a Gretchen to me. I don't know what. But Lori Lightfoot looks more presidential than that guy.
That is definitely
She looks
a
like
stretch.
A bug that needs smashed.
Joel.
Her eyes are just like... All right. Next up, the Canadian federal election occurred this last week. Our neighbors to the north, April the 28th. I think this was the 45th parliament, possibly. Mark Carney, leading the Liberal Party, won a fourth consecutive term, forming a minority government with 168 seats, short of the 172 needed for a majority. The Conservatives, led by Pierre Poilievre, I don't know how you say his last name, do you know? Can you figure that out, Joel?
Poilievre.
Secured 144 seats, while the Bloc Québécois got 23. The NDP, 7, and the Green Party, 1. Key issues included the cost of living, housing, crime, the U.S. tariffs, and, of course, the annexation threats from President Trump. Can you imagine them actually taking that as
promise,
a platform issue and running on it, but they sure did.
They took those threats and made him a promise,
which I think is just great. It shows the power that he has to be able to say something, and they literally make a serious issue out of it. And some say that that boosted the liberal support by fueling nationalist sentiment. So was it a play all along of Donald Trump playing chess to just get the worst people in power again in Canada?
I don't know what he would gain from that.
Well,
more of the same. Doesn't look good.
I guess
for
you
him.
Could. Yeah, you could keep up the talk for sure of annexation. But Carney replaced Justin Trudeau in March 2025 after Trudeau's resignation amid all the party turmoil and all that going on. Supposedly, they say, leveraged his economic expertise and anti-Trump stance to become the leader. So I wanted to show you this video. The new Canadian prime minister and his wife kind of looks like the Canadian version of Tim Walz and his wife, in my opinion. Watch this.
Is that him in the red hoodie?
Yes. I don't know if this is like the watch party or what. But you talking about awkward, man. Sure is awkward.
Disconcerting.
Canadian Tim Walz.
There isn't an ounce of testosterone in that room.
Mm-mm. No.
Hi.
So that's what's happening in Canada. Next up, President Trump roasts a protester. Did you see this?
No.
At a rally. It's just hilarious. Just listen to this.
You know, he was in North Carolina. He did so great. What's the problem over there? What's the problem? Is that a radical left lunatic? He's just a child. All right, get him out. Yeah. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, ma'am.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
He was a guy. Thank you. And she now has to go home to a mother who's a big Trump fan. Her mother's watching. I'm sorry. I said he, and it's a she. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
No, he
love it.
A radical left lunatic.
You're fired.
Is that a radical left lunatic?
Oh, man. Also, he called out ABC. Right to their face. This is great, too. Did you see this interview?
Great.
So Moran is asking him about the, you know, do you think the reputation in the United States has gone down under your presidency? And just listen to how Trump handles this. It's so great.
Do you think the reputation in the United States has gone down under your presidency?
I think it's gone way up, and I think we're a respected country again. We were left at all over the world. We had a president that couldn't walk up a flight of stairs, couldn't walk down a flight of stairs, couldn't walk across the stage without falling. We had a president that was grossly incompetent. You knew it, I knew it, and everybody knew it, but you guys didn't want to write it because you're fake news.
All right. Thank you.
And by the way, ABC's
right,
one of the worst.
You.
I have to be honest
okay.
with you.
Thank you. Do you think the reputation of the United States...
Frankly, I never heard of you before this.
Guys,
ABC is one of the worst.
I gotta
be honest with you.
I've got to pee like a rushing racehorse.
Well, we can go to the break, Tim. How about that?
I was hoping we were getting close.
You want to go to the break? All right, we'll go to the break and we'll be right back, everybody.
SNH Line Striping, LLC, is a local small business and is proud to serve their community in the four-state area. Whether you are striping a new parking lot or streets, you want to just maybe freshen up your lines on the basketball or volleyball court, SNH offers professional striping services for competitive prices. For the month of April and May, SNH is running a promotional code of 15% off specific to restriping. So if you want to freshen up those lines, get a hold of them. Reach out for terms and conditions for the promotional offer. And to get your free quote, you can check them out on Facebook as well. Call Steven at 317-442-3373 or email rightstriping, WRIGHTSTRIPING at outlook.com to discuss all your striping needs. Again, that's Steven Wright at 317-442-3373 or email at rightstriping@outlook.com. Make sure you mention the promo code MANCAVE25 to get the discount.
Cleverleys need to get him a shamisen.
For sure. All right, we're back from the break, as you can tell. And one more story about Governor Gretchen Whitmer. I almost forgot about it, Tim. You know, they have a plan. Gretchen Whitmer's Michigan has a plan to deal with the overpopulation of the Canadian geese. This is just too funny. So here's their plan. Round them up, put them in cages, and
ship them to Texas?
Gas them to death.
Oh.
Yeah. True story, Tim. This is a Not the Bee article, and the picture on it is just
she's like the too much. Hitler of geese.
They literally have a billboard with this on there, and it says, "Tell Governor Whitmer don't gas geese." So that's their plan. The state of Michigan has decided the best way to deal with it is just to gas them to death. Listen to this.
Hey, give us your 2 cents on this story. It's all systems go for a controversial new program in Michigan aimed at bringing down the Canada goose population. As the state prepares to round up and gas the geese to death, animal rights groups are calling foul over this and demanding answers.
I love it when Democrats get tied in knots, you know?
That picture on that billboard was the Auschwitz Museum.
Right.
Have you seen Letterkenny?
The geese?
I have not.
I'm sure this is an AI pic, but they've got the geese just strolling out on the railroad tracks that's headed to Auschwitz.
Ouch.
That's just awful. Awful. But the article says, as some say, don't gas geese. Michigan will forge ahead with a new lethal roundup. After changes to a state nuisance program, some Canada geese causing problems around lakes and golf courses may now be put into lethal gas chambers as a last resort option. Wow. How about just open up a Canadian geese season?
Well, know? Have you ever tried those Canadian geese breasts?
They're not great.
They're not much for eating.
Oh, are you kidding?
I've never had any, actually.
We soaked ours in buttermilk.
Are they good?
And wrapped them in bacon and smoked them.
Okay.
Chef's kiss.
Oh, man. Mm. I bet they don't have any hunting season in Michigan for geese, probably.
Well, I know in Nebraska they do.
Nebraska does?
Let's phone a friend and ask Tim Walls what they do with them up in Minnesota.
I borrowed I had to borrow my buddy's SUV when I was working in Nebraska. He had an old, probably like a 99 Yukon, one of the short ones.
Yeah.
And he said it was dead of winter. And he was like, yeah, you may need to clean the geese out of the back. There was like ones? 10 dead Canada gooses.
Huh. Mm.
Just frozen, stiff as a brick.
It gets cold up there.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, so I know they have, I hope they have a season or otherwise he may be.
That's better than gassing him to death. My goodness.
Yeah.
Right.
I think he fed him to his dogs.
Yeah. I don't really care, you know, how they deal with the Canadian geese. I just think it's funny when Democrats all get tied up in knots because, you know, they're so anti this and then all of a sudden they're for it. And then the animal rights groups are fighting the Democrats and it's just
those
delicious.
Inconvenient truths.
Yeah, right. Next up, a clip from Michelle Obama's podcast. This is what you were talking about, Tim, where this went viral this week on X because it appears as though she had a little bit of a slip up.
I didn't fall for it.
Show. But here's what they were sending around. Listen.
I wanted to talk, Marlon, a bit about, you know, just so proud of how you are being a role model for dealing with a child that's transgender.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, that warms my heart, particularly as a Black man. You know, would you?
Conveniently, so they didn't show Martin.
Right. Busted.
Yeah. So some were saying that was a little slip up there, a little Freudian slip. About saying as a Black man. But when you look at the context of the entire thing, she's definitely referring to the other guy on the podcast and not herself. So we'll set the record straight. Right.
Do a favor for Mike.
It sure was.
This one's on us, Mike.
This one's on us. It sure was making its rounds, though, on the internet with people claiming that she was letting it go out there. The new podcast. It'll do that to you. Okay. Podcast.
Gotta watch
right,
it.
Tim?
Yeah. Context.
Context
is king.
Yes, it is. So yeah. That's how that turned out. The Ukrainian mineral deal. Have you paid any attention to this? At all. Finally, they've signed this, I think. But the negotiations between Ukraine and the U.S. Over Ukraine's mineral rights have been a very complex and contentious path, and they've backed out several times over this deal with the deposits of critical minerals, such as lithium, graphite, titanium, rare earth elements. And the U.S.'s strategic interest in securing alternative sources to reduce dependence on China. So this goes way back into, you know, last year, actually, over these talks. But I think finally they have reached an agreement, at least for now.
They finally told Zelensky, they were like, okay, we'll give you 50 pounds of cocaine for your mineral rights. And he was like, where do I sign?
Pink cocaine.
He said, where do
just
I sign?
Just whatever's left over from all of them. Put it in one baggie. I think that's...
This is actually really brilliant because that's going to bring Putin to the table.
It will.
A very public display of us going over there to...
Mine this stuff. Yeah, or be involved in that process.
And he will know... I better not hurt a hair on the head of any American.
Which,
and he'll come to this will be what brings him to the table.
I don't know that he's not at the table.
Oh, he's not at the table.
No.
I don't think fully, but I think you're right in the fact that this is a huge step, and I know that Trump knows that. Like the so you know, now with this deal, the U.S. has the first right of refusal on new mineral projects and focuses on the future aid contributions rather than the past debts. So they kind of threw that part out. Like, you don't have to cover the past debts. Moving forward, this is the deal. Ukraine kind of looks at it as mutually beneficial, because if the U.S. is involved, that's going to be some security, whether the security was part of the deal or not. You know, they were trying to get extra security. But just the fact that we're involved in this process, and 50% of that, those rights, there will be more security. That's just the bottom line. And then Besant kind of framed it as a signal to Russia of the U.S. and our commitment to a sovereign Ukraine. So, you know, we'll see if this holds and what happens moving forward. I think the parliament still has to ratify the deal this week, this upcoming week. I think May the 8th is when Ukraine's parliament is set to ratify the deal. But
we should do a deal with Russia and Ukraine for minerals.
Well, I don't know, man. That would be virtually impossible, I think. I think it would. But
be nice.
The U.S. securing this preferential access to new mineral markets on market-based terms, this is a big deal, and definitely helps the U.S. to diversify critical mineral supply chains as well, not be reliant on China, which is a huge win in and of itself, even if it wasn't Ukraine. So that happened this week. Of course, there's challenges, implementation of this. You know, you've still got the ongoing war, Russia controlling over 40% of the metallic mineral resources. They, I still think, have control over two of the four lithium reserves. And so there's a lot of challenges with this, but I think it's a big first step in the right direction.
I just remember when Zelensky turned down the first deal and Russia came and was like, hey, we'll do the deal. If you did a deal with both of them, you have Americans in Russia and in Ukraine. I feel like just having them in Ukraine is still leaving a lot on the table for World War III.
Yeah.
Because if Russia did attack Ukraine with Americans on their soil, what do we do?
Right. Well, again, that's what offers security to Ukraine, because we're going to protect our resources. But I think that does give some leverage to the U.S. in negotiations with Russia as well.
Yeah.
But
I'm just saying, if everybody's making money, everybody's probably happy.
Right. And the public sentiment in Ukraine is a part of that too. You know, it's kind of all over the place regarding the deal. Some are in favor and some are not. Some say it's just a ruse as far as their own people go. But, you know, what are they actually allowing the people to hear is the question in Ukraine, because they actually have laws on the books in Ukraine that restricts people's right to speak their mind when it comes to the law in Ukraine.
First Amendment.
I think that was actually a part of one of the deals, right? Trump said you have to allow, basically like similar to a First Amendment right, and remove all these restrictive anti-speech laws in Ukraine. So I don't know if that got removed, if that's still in there, but I think that in itself would change a lot. Next up, Senator Adam Schiff, who is a Democrat.
Old pencil neck.
Yeah. Who used to call him that? Was that Rush?
Trump.
Or was it Trump? Trump's called him that too?
Oh, yeah.
I know Schiffy. Rush did. I remember Rush calling him that. But he filed federal legislation this week to have a federal ban on assault weapons, as they call it, which, when you ask them to define that, they really struggle, these Democrats. But here's what old pencil neck had to say.
Today I will be introducing the assault weapons ban of 2025. a bill that would ban the sale, manufacture, import, and transfer of military-style assault weapons. Since 2006, there have been 486 mass shootings involving assault weapons.
It's not a correct number, by the way.
Hundreds of Americans have been killed in these mass shootings. This bill is a way to attack that massive threat to our safety and security. Dianne Feinstein introduced the first assault weapons ban 31 years ago after a school shooting in Stockton, California.
Can we pause
for 10 years?
Ben.
Yeah.
He said there were 480.
Mm-hmm. 86.
486 and hundreds. Couldn't get to 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So mass shootings would have to consist of two people per shooting.
Right.
Because 486 times two gets you to the thousands.
Right. So
he could only come up with hundreds.
You're actually bringing up a very good point, Tim, and that is, how do you define a mass shooting? And how do the Democrats define a mass shooting when they use these numbers? Really matters, because, you know, I mean, not to mention, this is bad policy regardless, but when you use wrong numbers to try to make a, you know, that bad argument, it's even worse. But how they define that is definitely a part of the equation. What'd you find, Joel?
The FBI considers mass murder a shooting of four or more, a murder of four or more people in a single incident.
Okay.
Were there, in fact, 486? And were they all committed with
ARs? Well, that's the other problem, is how they define assault weapons, right? So there's two problems when they throw these numbers out. How they define assault weapons.
Since 2006, 486 mass shootings
involving assault weapons. Yeah.
So there's no, a mass shooting is not a thing. I think that's where.
Okay.
It's not strictly defined by any credible organization.
Mm-hmm.
They consider
what
a mass shooting
would be.
Yeah.
So mass murder. So that would be who actually dies, right?
Yes.
Okay. So a mass murder by the FBI is defined as four people that were killed.
So, but a mass shooting, no one could have died.
Yeah.
But an AR-15 was fired around more than 12 people.
Okay, so AI found his...
Or whatever they define an assault weapon to be.
His source is the Washington Post.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, very credible.
Super duper credible. I don't know. And we're choking on mites, maybe. It just seems...
Well...
Because the whole premise is wrong.
Yeah, but. The whole premise is wrong. It's bad policy. We know that. And no thanks, Adam Schiff. We don't want a federal ban on assault weapons because it wouldn't fix the problem. Next thing you know, you've got mass knife incidents, right? Just like what's happening in Europe. And then the next thing you know, they're banning kitchen knives because they think banning things fix the problem. And it never does.
I know you're saying that like a hypothetical, but those are real things that happen every day.
Real things that happen. Yeah.
They really did ban katanas.
Katanas, blades
Ninja
longer
swords.
Than blah, whatever.
Right.
Do you remember the katinas?
I think we talked about that on the show.
We did. The ninja swords, yeah. Not the katinas, the ninja swords.
The katinas. Do you remember them?
I've been to a few
very close cantinas. To cantata.
Similar
katanas.
I've gone to a few cantatas.
Truly.
Not to be confused with katanas, which is a sword, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a ninja sword.
We made a full circle there somehow.
360. We did a 180, 360.
A 180.
Crop
Tony
circles.
Hawk was involved.
Crop circles. Because we were in the corn.
We were in
the weeds.
So, now, this is just political fodder for the Democrats to try to act like they're going to ban all the guns. But we're not going to have any of that. Real quick, I wanted to mention, did you see that Scott Jennings from CNN, who we've talked about a lot and featured on the podcast for his excellent takes.
He hasn't been fired?
He hasn't yet.
Yet.
But he was at the rally in Michigan with President Trump the other day. And he has said since then that if Trump supported him or if he wanted him to run, I think was the words he used, that he would run for Mitch McConnell's Senate seat in Kentucky. He's from Senate, or he's from Kentucky.
Could you imagine trading, be like trading the old cross for a crown?
Yeah. So, yeah, he's a conservative CNN political commentator, if there is such a thing, which he has been.
I think there is.
He has been.
I think there is such a thing.
He's been pretty strong on those things this round with Trump's second administration.
If he's not just playing the devil's advocate over at CNN, I would vote for him.
Right. Well, there's some people who say that. There's some people who are skeptical, saying that is he truly a conservative or is this just something that, you know, they need on CNN to have an actual opposing viewpoint. But it seems like to me he's pretty convictional on his takes.
I feel the same way, but I also feel like that they wouldn't let him be there if he was.
Right. Well, they got to make entertainment some way. They can't all just...
After he gets done, just completely reaming them.
Right.
He's like, oh, you guys okay? Yeah, right. I was just messing with you. You guys good?
I don't know.
You good?
So we'll see if Scott Jennings actually runs or not. But
do you guys remember that guy that was before Scott Jennings, a conservative on CNN before?
I don't.
I can't remember his name.
I've never watched CNN enough to even
I can
who's
see
on
his
there.
Face.
Yeah, he got into it with Mehdi Hasan, and he said that he hopes Mehdi Hasan's beeper doesn't go off right now.
Oh, I remember that now.
Oh, yeah. I can see his face.
I love it.
Yeah.
He's a Hamas apologist.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, that was something.
Walk like a duck, talk like a duck, blow beepers
got
up.
Got the Free Palestine flag blowing in the wind in the background, probably. So, next up, did you see any of James O'Keefe's stuff going on this week? He's the founder of Project Veritas. We've featured him on the show before. But he announced a major expose on government corruption this week, and in his words, involving billions and potential indictments that was teased on Benny Johnson's show. And I'm going to play this clip, and then we'll show his video that was kind of cryptic, and he has kind of went off the grid since then. So here's what he said.
Well, we await your bombshell report. Obviously, when James says things like this, when other people come on the program and say, like, the work I'm doing is going to lead to indictments, the vast majority of them haven't ever done that. James has done that. James has done this before.
I mean, I've known you for 15. Remember the Acorn story? There were like five or six tapes. If the work that I'm about to release, I'm talking about in a month and a half, doesn't lead to indictments, then I'm going to come on your program and I'm going to be off. Because I have these people breaking the law. Now, I got to get a little more so they don't, you know, come out some technicality. But I'm going to be upset at these prosecutors. And I will hold these prosecutors accountable. I'll investigate them. Because, you know, we are a nation of laws. We're supposed to be equal before the law, e pluribus unum. That's what the United States is all about. And this is our opportunity. But I have faith. Content is king. You catch them on video. Stay tuned.
Wow. I would just...
Hey, so I said context is king earlier, and so is that Benny Johnson?
Yeah.
Johnson.
Benny Johnson. That's his podcast show.
I follow him on X, but I don't guess I've ever seen any videos.
So after he teased that on Benny Johnson's show, this was the last we saw from James O'Keefe before he's went dark. All right, so here's what he said on the...
Where he said, I'm not suicidal.
Yeah.
I'm going dark. I'm not suicidal. Pray for me. This one scares me, guys.
So he gets up and walks out. So, I don't know. I mean, what is this about? It's kind of cryptic, you know. But I'm sure it has to be, probably given the nature of how dangerous that might be. Did you know, I was looking at some data on this, but there is some I believe it's OSC data that shows 60% higher retaliation rates under Biden for whistleblowers. Did you see this?
No.
The data on this? This is interesting. Compared to Trump. So 60% higher retaliation rates under Biden for whistleblowers compared to Trump. So underscoring, you know, the dangers of challenging these powerful people and entities by, you know, outing them with a whistleblower report. So I don't know. I'm sure it could be several things. It could be government spending and fraud. They've been going through this with DOGE, you know, all the different departments. It could be something like that. It could be some of the COVID era relief programs. I don't know if it comes to spending and fraud. It could be having more so to do with the actual retaliation for a whistleblower, depending on who that might be, if they're a high-profile person or whatever, or maybe DOJ misconduct. I don't know. That could be a part of it. But it also talks about 80% higher prosecution rate of Republicans versus Democrats from 2018 to 2023.
80%.
80% higher prosecution rates with Republicans in power than under Biden.
And I
believe that.
I'm definitely biased. But I know there are some sketchy Republicans. Like some...
For sure.
But I feel like Republicans are probably 80% less sketchy, biased, once again, than Democrats. But the prosecution rate, 80% higher.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see, you know, what this is, if it's as big as what he is saying it is, what James O'Keefe is saying.
We're down to like 5 days, right?
Yeah.
I saw this a couple days ago. So
4 or 5.
Wednesday.
You know, it could be political figures. It could be even some of the private contractors and lobbyists. You know, there's billions in corruption. And often it involves these private entities benefiting from government contracts, companies like the McKinsey Group and some of those.
Did you guys see the Doge guy, the Chinese Doge guy?
Yes.
Does he not look eerily like Elon Musk?
No.
Like a Chinese Elon Musk.
I did guys, not notice that.
Joel, pull it up. Uncanny resemblance.
Are you, saying?
I'm just saying that
Elon
he
has got his own.
What?
Am I lying?
Yailong Ma?
His name's Yailong Ma? You got to be. This is Enron egg stuff right here.
Tim, you've been gotten again.
Okay, so
Yailong Ma, the viral Chinese doppelganger of Twitter CEO Elon Musk.
I called it
viral again.
I got to see this, Joel.
I called it though. I said it was Enron eggy.
Yeah, you did.
I was watching it. And I was like, I'm being trolled.
Has gone viral again, this time for a skit posted on TikTok about Dogecoins and Bored Ape Yacht Club NFTs.
No, he was talking about Doge. Yilong he Ma. Was talking about the department. Okay, yeah, I was got. Okay, but no, it was him talking about his involvement with Doge, the Department of funny. Government.
So funny.
Okay. Dadgummit,
Joel.
Got
you, Tim.
That
AI is just too good.
No, I don't think it's AI, is it? It's a guy that just looks like him that's trolling people like me. The gullible.
It's okay, Tim.
But, okay, so he did a video about his involvement with Doge.
No, Rennie.
What? I haven't seen this.
Yilong Ma.
Yilong Ma. So...
Oh my God! Very beautiful. What is... Very beautiful. Toka.
Okay, Joel. So, he does a video that he's talking like he's one of the Doge boys.
Okay.
So I see him and I'm like, he looks just like Elon Musk, but he's Chinese. This is Elon Musk's son at 19 years old.
One of the many.
So he said he dropped out of Harvard to work for Doge.
Right, of course.
And I'm like, why does he look just like Elon Musk?
Somebody should do a meme.
So it is.
Somebody should do
I'm telling you, Ben, I think it would have gotten you too. Because you're like, well, this is great.
Right.
He drops out of Harvard too, and he said he wanted to serve our country.
Mm-hmm. Is this a guy?
Yes, it's this guy. But he does a serious video. It was on X, and he's like, I dropped out of Harvard to serve our country.
Does he have a strong accent?
No, not in the video. No accent. So AI got involved somewhere. Mm-hmm. But it's so good. But I'm like, why does he look just like a Chinese Elon Musk? Elon Musk had a Chinese offspring.
Got him.
They got me so good. Enron egg-esque.
Yep.
Anyways, that was a rabbit trail, but I'm going to send it to you when I find it. And it'll get you. You'll be like, dude, this guy dropped out of... Wait a second. He looks just like Elon Musk. It didn't have his name. If I'd seen Elon Ma, I wouldn't have like even entertained it.
Oh, man. That's too good. That's just too good.
I looked like a fool last night.
It's so great. That would be a good meme, though. Like,
I'm tired.
Elon. And they all look like him. The whole Doge team.
I'm tired of getting paid to lose. I want the win.
I want the win. Oh, man. It's good stuff. Last but not least, Florida man.
Switch the TV.
Florida man battles an alligator while barefoot on a Florida highway. This is probably the most Florida man story we've had in a while. So just watch this. It's good stuff. Check this guy out, Tim. Tell me.
Oh, wow.
Look at this. This alligator is probably what? 8 foot long?
He's like
it's a man of the people.
Steve Irwin.
Dude is like
reincarnate.
And is.
Is the thing still camo alive?
Camo shorts.
Oh, yeah.
And tank top. No shoes.
He looked. Wow. I'm telling you, I thought I wrangled a couple black snakes this week. And I was feeling accomplished until I saw this.
He kind of reminds me of
the gator roll.
What's that, Ginger Billy?
Yep, yep.
Kind of reminds me of Ginger Billy.
Yep.
But yeah, they got this whole
little
gator.
Less, I don't know, Ginger Billy.
Make a nice pair of boots.
No joke. I think I'm going to get me some gator boots this year.
You should.
I'm still waiting on mine.
Where are they coming?
The Lucchese's.
You ordered them?
Did I ever tell you about this?
No.
I've got a pair of Lucchese's ordered for over a year now.
What?
Yeah.
Should have went with Anderson Beam.
I'm going to do you guys one better.
You'd already have your boots.
I'm going to do you one better. $2,000 a piece.
Each boot?
No.
I was going to say, that's the sketchiest way to sell something.
$2,000 per head, flat fee. Take you on a gator hunt in Florida, guaranteed to get one, guaranteed a pair of boots out of them.
You guys want to know?
Now that's awesome.
$2,000.
You guys want to know the most?
We need to do a crowdfunding, money raising for the Man Cave Caucus for an alligator hunt.
Man Cave Caucus gator hunt, and do it live.
Hey, I'm about to have me a barn sale. You guys remember garbage sale?
Yes. Garbage sale. I'll give you two thin dimes for that penny hose doll.
But I'm about to have me a garbage sale, and I think I could crowdfund my own.
Dude, would that be epic?
You guys,
or what?
I have saved up so much garbage.
The caucus alligator hunting.
I'm down.
And making boots out of
make them. Phil come, too.
Yeah.
Phil needs some... Phil Baker.
Yeah. Oh, he'd do that in a second.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because he's got the video. He'd get the video right.
Someone out there, someone out there in the listenership wants to fund.
That's right.
A Man Cave Caucus Gator.
Come with us.
Epic. Epic.
We'll keep you laughing.
For sure. All right.
Incredible, though. My brother Phil and my dad found a gator on the side of the highway in Opelousas, Louisiana. Big old boy like that. And didn't throw it on the roof of their car.
And it was dead?
Yeah. Oh, got hit man. By a truck.
I gutted that thing. And
I know. Is it legal to pick him up?
I'd have to find out by picking it up.
It's illegal to paint in Louisiana without a mask. And I know they've been doing that.
They've
been doing that.
I'm just saying. There are times when you tarnish your trunk.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when you wrangle a dead gator right into the trunk of your Nissan.
That's right.
But yeah, I'd go on a gator hunt.
Well, we've come to the end of the show today, folks. So don't forget, wherever you do find us, Amazon, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, go over there, take a couple of seconds, give us a 5-star review, and really helps us to promote the show. And then just tell your friends about it, as apparently people are doing. I mean, somebody walked into the sheriff's office today, and we're hearing about the podcast.
Proselyting.
Just recruiting listeners out there. So tell your friends about it. And hey, guys, God bless. We'll see you next week. Wonder if you could make a Shamisen head out of gator, Tim.
No question. They're doing it.
I wonder what it would sound like.
But it's all fake.
Oh.
I want the real one. Now let me get on Amazon.
This is two weeks.
Amazon,
I just want to remind you, this is 2 weeks you have forgotten.
Ben, I'm so loosely put together. If you don't know by now.
What's it called?
Don't know me. A baki.
A baki.
You came all the way from Japan. I waited a month for it to show up in the mail, and I have not united it with the Shamisen.
That's right.
But I'm gonna drop it off on your porch tonight. I got some running around to do. Don't you worry.
Can't wait. I'm gonna learn that thing when I get some time.
I saw you plinking on it. It's pretty intuitive for not having frets.
Yep.
They followed the old passage, fret not, when they built the Shamisen.
Everybody I've showed it to is blown away, Tim. I'll just tell you. They're just blown away by it. The craftsmanship. And the unique.
I wish you could take it apart and show them the tenons.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
No.
But I wish you could.
You can't do it now.
The Japanese take this thing down every time they play it.
Wow.
And bag it up. Because the leather wants to dry out.
Oh.
Which... it's $15 and an evening of pleasure, reskinning one. So we don't need to put it in a humidor, but it's good song.